work together as a family, be in alignment, get on the same page to agree to the fact that, you know what, we're going to work together to become this as a family.
Welcome to the Winning Family Podcast, the podcast designed to champion parents to raise spiritual leaders.
Hi, everyone. It's Rodney Michelle Gage with the Winning Family Podcast. And we're so honored that you've chosen to join with us during this episode. Hey, today we're going to be talking about the importance of being a training camp coach, a character coach in the lives of your kids. Before we unpack that and have some conversations that we trust will be helpful and encouraging to you, let me encourage you to rate and review this podcast and share it with friends that you know that could be encouraged by all that we are talking about. We're in a series of podcasts that we started several episodes ago. We're talking about the importance of what it means to raise spiritually strong, resilient kids. And we talked about the importance of being a spiritual trendsetter. We as parents have to set the tone spiritually in our homes. It really does begin with us. We talked about the importance of being what we call an identity detective. In other words, we have to make sure that we uncover those lies that maybe the enemy is using to rob our kids of the true identity that God has given to them. And then we talked about being an emotional trailblazer, you know, and how important it is that we be proactive, that we forge the way when it comes to making sure that the important emotional needs in the lives of our kids are consistently being met. And then today we're talking about being that training camp coach. And it's kind of like, well, what in the world is all this about? Well, I think what we're unpacking today, the conversation we're going to have for the next few moments, is really what it requires on our part as parents to build into the character and really the character traits of our kids. And, you know, a lot, you know, has been already talked about when it comes to just building a strong spiritual foundation, moral foundation in the lives of our kids, you know, that foundation of truth, you know, having clarity and security in their identity of who they are in Christ, making sure those emotional needs are being met. But kids are going to be kids, right? Kids are going to, they're not perfect. None of us are. We're not perfect as parents, right? You know, and kids, you know, when they are born into this world, they're also born with a disadvantage in the fact that they're also born with a sinful nature.
Got that bent towards badness.
That's right.
We all have it.
I don't know of any parent who ever had to teach their kids to be bad or teach their kids to talk back or teach their kids to have a negative, poor attitude or sarcastic or whatever.
Right.
You know, it just comes natural to all of us. Mm-hmm. And so as a result, how do we come alongside and, I like to say it this way, provide guardrails to protect them, mm-hmm, and provide guideposts to direct them.
Absolutely.
And so we got to keep the wheels on the track.
Yes.
We got to keep our kids from veering off the track,
right,
you know, and getting into the weeds of all the stuff the world and our culture is throwing out at them.
Right.
And sadly and unfortunately, you know, there are a lot of parents today who've kind of taken on more of the permissive role, mm-hmm, you know, of just like, well, we just want to be, you know, encouraging to our kids. And, you know, we just want to be, you know, the friend, you know, that they really need at this stage and age in their lives. And, well, all that sounds great. Mm. But sometimes the permissive side of allowing our kids to basically do whatever they want to do without having to face consequences, we're actually setting them up for long-term failure.
Absolutely.
And problems in their lives.
Absolutely.
And then you got the, you know, the flip side of that, of the drill sergeant, mm-hmm, you know, it's my way or the highway. It's rules, 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 but rules without a relationship will only lead to rebellion.
Yes.
So at some point you have to come to that place where there's balance of love and limits.
Right.
And make sure that we create an environment in our home, mm-hmm, that there's a balance and a consistency of those two areas.
Right. I think we talk a lot about holding to core values, and that's a part of our shift method, that you hold to your core values. And I think it's really important as a family, if it's a husband and wife together, or if maybe you're a single parent, that at some point you sit down as early as possible and you create your core values for your family, because those are the guide rails, the guardrails and the guidepost in your life. So they're guiding you and they're guarding you. So they're guiding the decisions that you make as a family. They're guiding your discipline as a parent. And they're guarding as well when the child starts to get outside of what you hold to as a family, as the core values, which are built around character qualities.
Right.
And that helps you to say, well, this is who we are. And this is who we're not. So you're going outside of who we are. So I have to hold you accountable and discipline you because you're going outside of this guardrail of who we are as a family, who we've decided this is who we are and who we're going to become as a family.
That's so good. And I think also what that does is it helps in the area of building a strong culture.
Yes.
In our home
yes.
and in our family.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by culture, a lot of times we'll hear that buzzword kind of in the corporate, you know, business kind of language where we're building a strong culture within our company and our organization.
Yeah.
And it's like, we get that. We understand that when it comes to the workplace, but are we building a strong culture mm-hmm. in our own homes?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so, you know, culture has been said that it's defined by either design or default.
Right.
So are we designing the culture that we want, or is it by default in the sense that we have what we have and we are who we are because we have allowed that to become what it is?
Mm-hmm.
And so we have to make sure that we start as early as we possibly can. That's the advantage of getting started young in our homes with while our children are young. It's much harder to course correct down the road, but it's not that it can't be done.
Right.
It's a matter of us sitting down and just identifying those core values, like you mentioned, whether it's honesty, truthfulness, you know, if it's respect, honor,
mm-hmm.
you know, having a positive attitude, you know, can-do spirit, whether it's kindness, mm-hmm. patience, you know, pick your virtue, pick your character quality, pick your value of what's important.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, work together as a family, be in alignment, get on the same page to agree to the fact that, you know what, we're going to work together to become this as a family. This is who, not what, but this is who we are striving to become. Think
right.
who before do.
Right.
Who do we want to be?
Right.
And what does that look like?
Right.
And so I think it's important that when it comes to this whole issue of training, there are some things that the Bible teaches us of teaching as well as training and the difference between those two.
Right. And the teaching side of it is the words that we give them. So around those core values, this is who we are, or the biblical things that we're teaching them, scripture. I'm so thankful. The greatest gift probably of my life is when I was a young child, maybe 6 years old, that my parents sat me down, wrote out scripture on little 3x5 cards, and helped me to memorize scripture. It's still in my heart and in my mind today. It is a guide rail. It is a guardrail and a guidepost for me in my life. Thy word have I hid in my heart so that I might not sin against you, so that I can stay on the path that, you know, not the path of destruction, but the path to life. The training is the teaching of what we believe is the word of God, the principles of the word of God. Also, the values that we're teaching them, most of the time value character traits that are biblical character traits. And so important that we're teaching them those things. And then the training is the actual application of those things.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that has action to it.
Right.
And sometimes it can be positive or it can be negative.
Mm-hmm.
And what I mean by that is that sometimes it might be that we apply the board of understanding to the seed of knowledge, as they say.
Gosh.
We have to practice discipline to our children. And so I know somebody said, you mean you guys actually disciplined your children? I mean, you mean you actually did something like that? Well, the Bible teaches that, you know, spare the rod, spoil the child. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there are consequences for misbehavior, for sin. There ought to be clear boundaries that we set in our homes. And when we step over those boundaries, when we step outside of God's good, pleasing, and perfect will, guess what? We invite consequences into our lives.
Yeah, losing a phone can hurt sometimes just as much as a spanking did back in the
day.
But
we also reward obedience.
Right.
You know, we celebrate and reward obedience.
Yeah.
And we reinforce the good, and we also help them feel the consequences of the bad when they make bad choices.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think there's such almost a hypersensitivity to this whole issue and area of discipline. But I think many people just have a misunderstanding. And I get it. If somebody was raised in a home where it went to the extreme,
absolutely,
where there was abuse, violence, and you know, that's not what I'm referring to when it comes to discipline. Discipline is correction driven by love.
Yes.
Discipline is something that we do for our children, not something we do to our children.
We love them so much. We want to allow them to become or head off in that direction.
Absolutely. So we help them understand so that they're clear on where the boundaries are.
Right.
They're clear in what is right, what is wrong, what is acceptable, and what is not acceptable. And what's the standard? Well, the standard is the Word of God. The standard is about as crystal clear as it gets when it comes to things that are God honoring and those things that are not. I love. I think one of the greatest books that has ever been written is our dear friend Joshua McDowell wrote this book. I mean, he was ahead of his time when he wrote this book. But man, has that book ever been fulfilled to a T in the world and culture in which we live today? It was called Right from Wrong.
What, 20 years old?
At least 20 years old. And Josh's book is so spot on. But and I'll just say this because this is, a helpful framework for parents because so many gray areas exist today that I think a lot of people in most kids' studies show that kids today no longer even believe in an objective standard for right and wrong. So truth is all a matter of one's personal preference. Truth is a matter of one's personal opinion. So therefore, for a lot of our kids and in our current generation known as Gen Z, you have this standard that no longer exists. It's up to you as an individual to determine what's right and what's wrong.
Yeah, that's what culture is preaching.
Right. And so that's the norm of today.
Right.
But it's just like what the Bible teaches in the book of Judges, when Israel had no king at the time, the Bible says that everyone did what was right in their own eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
So when there's no spiritual or moral leadership, there's no guardrails and guideposts to protect us and to direct us in our lives, then we're going to drift. And we don't 100%. Naturally drift towards God. We normally drift away from God.
Yeah, especially if you don't know the truth.
So these are important things that I think when it comes to teaching and training and instructing our kids, going back to what Josh wrote and kind of outlined in his book called Right from Wrong, he basically identified three things. Number one, he talked about the precept. That's the truth of God's word. And then he talked about the principle behind the precept. So the principle is the why behind the what.
Yes.
So God says, don't do this. The principle is why that's important. And then the third part of that framework is it all points back to the person of God. So therefore, how we know whether something is right or whether something is wrong, number one, is there a precept in God's word? And what principle should we learn and apply? And is that precept and principle consistent with who the person of God is? God's never going to say anything or ask us to do anything that is against the very nature and character of who he is. So the more our kids can understand, again, this framework of what is right and what is wrong, what is fully acceptable and pleasing in the eyes of God.
Yeah.
And that's going to help our kids become not only spiritually strong and healthy, but it's going to help them become emotionally secure and healthy. And it's going to allow them to be able to make wise choices. You know, it's one of the things that in the book of Proverbs, that's the greatest single parenting book there is the book of Proverbs.
It's a great
and
one.
King Solomon, who was often referred to as the wisest man who ever lived, one of the things that he asked God for when he was getting ready to basically lead the people of Israel after his father, King David, died, he asked God for wisdom and for understanding, mm-hmm. for discernment. Mm-hmm. And that's what we need to teach our kids. So yes. they have a sense of discernment,
yeah.
wisdom, and understanding, knowing the difference between right and wrong when they're put in compromising situations, mm-hmm. when they hear something in the classroom or they hear something on social media that is inconsistent or contradictory to who God is, then that ought to give them a warning sign or send a red flag in their heart saying, this is not truth. This right. is a lie. And it's because of this reason.
Right. And so that means that we got to talk about it along the way.
Yep.
We've got to daily be talking about it. It doesn't mean that you've got to do this big Bible study, in-depth Bible study with your children every single morning or, you know, but it is just goes all back to that beginning that we're the spiritual trendsetter in our life and in our home. And our kids have to see it. You can't kid a kid. They have to see it lived out in us, but we're also teaching them the Word of God. So maybe an example of that is don't let the sun go down on your anger, on your wrath. Don't. So as brothers and sisters in this home, we're not going to hold a grudge. There might be an explosion down the hall, but we're going to work it out before we go to bed. We're going to say, I'm sorry, and will you forgive me? And we're going to work that out before we go to bed. That is training and teaching. You're teaching them the Word, and you're training them in how to do that. They are going to resist it. 100% they're going to resist it. But they'll learn and they'll understand, especially as parents, if we're living it out ourselves. The Bible tells us to build others up. The Bible says that we're supposed to be builders of people. So we teach that to our children, Ephesians 4:29, that when they go to school, why don't you find somebody that you can encourage today? You train them in that. And when they come home and they're tearing down their brother or sister, we bring them back to you. But we're to build each other up. We're supposed to love and support each other in this home. We support each other. And so it's those kind of things that you're pouring into their heart, you're depositing into their life to help discipline them and show them the character, as you said, the character of God in their life, that's something they're going to carry with them. The Bible says that train a child in the way that he should go according to God's word. And when he's old, the Bible says he won't depart from it. Now, we've seen that children depart from the ways that they were taught, but in their heart, there are those guideposts and guardrails that are in their heart, and God can draw them back.
Yeah, the seeds of truth.
Yeah,
you know, can take root in their hearts. They may not respond or obey to it, mm-hmm. but the seeds are still there.
Yes,
and so God will bring forth the fruitfulness in their lives, and it might take years, and it might take unfortunate circumstances and hardships, it could be painful to sit on the sidelines as a parent and watch, but we can't throw in the towel and give up on our kids. It's like the prodigal son. We got to pray they're going to return and come back home and come back into a right relationship with God, right relationship with the family.
Yeah.
And these are things that as parents, we can't delegate this.
Mm-hmm.
We can't hope that somebody else is going to fix all these kinds of issues.
Yeah.
That's a that's a responsibility that we have as parents.
We're the coach.
And we've got to make sure that as a coach, the head coaches of our family, we have got to make sure that we provide that training camp environment where we're training them to be strong champions for Christ.
Yes.
We're training them and we're disciplining them in a way that allows them to stay focused on the Lord and to keep their eyes fixed on Him, because without Him, we can't do anything.
Right, right. So, I'm not huge into sports. But, I was always into the arts, but I know that a coach has a game plan before he gets in the game.
Right.
He's got something that they're the plays they're going to play. And as parents, we've got to have a game plan. We got to have plays if we're going to win and be a winning family. That doesn't mean that we're perfect, but we're going to sure do whatever we can to make sure we're moving the ball down the field.
And the rules and the boundaries were set before the game. So you don't go out on the basketball court and start playing a game, and then all of a sudden we say, oh, whoa. No, we're not going to do it that way. Mm. You know, no, that was already decided before the game was started.
There you go.
We already have boundaries. We already have what's acceptable, what's not acceptable before the game even gets started. So these are conversations that parents just need to have. These are priorities that need to be put in place so that we are, once again, setting our kids up for success and helping establish those guardrails, those guideposts, so that our kids can ultimately be set apart, set up for success, so they can be brighter light to a world that they're living in that is filled with darkness and confusion. But the only way that they can do that is to have that sense of wisdom and understanding, that discernment, knowing the difference between right and wrong. We just want our kids, when they're standing on the fork of the road, to be able to make the right choices.
That's right.
That they know that truly honors the Lord.
Yeah. Not only do we teach and train, but we pray every day.
That's right.
For that.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we trust this has been helpful and encouraging and has been also thought-provoking for you, even just to maybe challenge you to kind of think through some things, maybe sit down as a family, go back through some of those core values and maybe establish your own, you know, your own creed, your own mantra, your mission statement, your purpose statement as a family. And what are those non-negotiables going to be that you're going to work hard at making sure that you drill down and establish and everybody work to get on the same page with in your home? Well, this has been a great conversation. We can't wait till next episode. Until then, hey, make sure you reach out. Let us know. DM us on the Winning Family Instagram or go to our Facebook page there on the Winning Family Facebook. Make sure to like us, subscribe, go to our YouTube channel, pass this on to your friends. And until the next episode here at the Winning Family, we look forward to seeing you back next time.